What does it mean to be born again? So we're going to look at the new birth today. So the title of my message this morning is Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday. Let me pray. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for this time. And I do ask that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us understand just what it means that we are born again. What does it mean that we've got brand new life in you? Help us understand that today, God. So we thank you and we lift this to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy birthday. Now, all of us have physical birthdays, but there are only a few that have been born again. And so we also have a spiritual birthday. You know, Jesus said this, unless you're born again, you will not make it to heaven. And to be born again, it doesn't mean that you get a new religion or you become an improved version of yourself, like a new old you, but it's that you become a brand new you. In this message, we're going to be examining what does it mean to be born again. Now, it's been said, birthdays are good for your health. It's a scientific fact. People who have more birthdays, they live longer. That's a joke, okay? We're getting into the jokes, people. But too many birthdays will kill you, okay? So keep that in mind. The best way to remember your wife's birthday is to forget it once. Then you will always be forced to remember it. I used to get heartburn when I ate my birthday cake until the doctor advised me to take the candles off first. Okay, that helps. Some birthdays are unforgettable. I'm sure you can think back to your birthdays growing up, and there are just some amazing birthdays. Of course, the first one is special, but 13 years old for boys is an important transition from being a little guy into a young man. For girls, it's the 16 birthday when you just are no longer just a young lady, but you're becoming a woman. 18 obviously ends childhood, and 21, you know, you get to make some decisions. 30 years old is a mile marker. 40 years old. My wife just turned 40 yesterday, by the way. And so it was Veterans Day, but also another national holiday, my wife's birthday. So she turned 40. 60 is a big birthday. 65 is retirement. Birthdays are a lot of fun. They are a big blessing. The new birth, though, is also a big blessing. A spiritual birthday that you never forget when you remember the day or the time or the season that you were made brand new by God. You know, here's what it means to be born again, by the way. If you've been born once, you will have to die twice. But if you've been born twice, you will only die once. Let me explain it. If you've been born once by your mom, you're going to die physically, but the Bible even says you're going to die spiritually. There's going to be a physical and a spiritual death. But if you've been born twice, you've been born again, you're only going to die once. You're only going to die your physical death. And the Bible says that we'll go to heaven and live for the rest of eternity. Today, we're talking about the doctrine or the teaching of the new birth. What does it actually mean? James 1:18 is all about this concept, and it puts a lot of insight for me and you on the topic of being born again. It says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Here's question number one. Where does the new birth come from? Verse 18 tells us, of his own will, he brought us forth. The New Living Translation says it this way. He chose to give birth to us by his true word. So God chose to give us new birth, okay? That is the source. That's where it comes from. Even if you remember last week, verse 17, it said the Father of lights. God is the one who created all of the heavenly stars and the heavenly lights. All good things come from God. But the greatest thing that God does in the life of a sinner is that he brings us from death to life. God was and is the initiator in your relationship with him. Let me explain your condition. Before somebody's born again, before they become a Christian, before they know God, this is what your spiritual condition is according to the Bible. Romans 3:23, this is what it says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another one says that we are dead. Okay, we're dead before Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Another description, it says that we're not good before we're a Christian. Romans 3:10 says, "There is no one righteous, no, not one." It's like, well, I try to be good, Jason. I know a lot of non-Christians out there that are good people. Yeah, they're good horizontally, but they're not good vertically, all right? They're not good in their relationship with God. They might walk old ladies across the street and, you know, help some homeless people out and maybe not cheat on their taxes, all right? But when the Bible's talking about being good, it's talking about being righteous, made in right standing with God. And the Bible says, nope, those that are without Christ, they're not in right standing with God. They're not good with God. Like, hey, we're good, right? No, we're not good. And that's what it means. It also goes further than that, saying not that you're not good with God, but it means that you're enemies of God. Romans 5:10, this is what you were before you were Christian. Before you were right with God, it says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." Did you know that you were God's enemy before that you were a son or a daughter, before you were born again? Another description of our state before Christ was that we were helpless. Romans 5:6, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners." Here's what you were before Christ. You were a sinner, dead, not good, an enemy of God, and helpless in your condition. We really need to understand just how bad we really were. We were guilty, law-breaking sinners who ruin everything and only seek to please ourselves. We're going from trouble to trouble. You know, it kind of reminds me of that story. I saw the Cleveland police officer stopped a 20-year-old man. His name was Ricky Flowers. For a traffic violation, maybe you saw it in the news as well. While the police were writing out the citation, this guy Ricky, not you Ricky on the phone by the way, but Ricky, he jumped back into his car, he put it in gear and he took off, which triggered a high-speed chase. And it was, going everywhere, reckless driving, almost losing control, but this guy Ricky Flowers eventually jumped out of the car and he scaled a fence to evade the officers, just to get away. But unfortunately for Ricky, but thankfully for the officers, the fence that he climbed was surrounding the yard of a women's prison. So he went from bad to worse, all right? So he wasn't doing good. And his own ideas of getting out of trouble was that it put him in more trouble. And that's the idea of you before God, by the way, all right? Like, you think you're doing good and you're trying to turn your life around and you're climbing walls and make it. It's like, no, you're going from worse to worse. That is the idea of a non-believer. That's why we need God's intervention. God's intervention is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," he loved you, "that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's God's intervention. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Ephesians 2, "Because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by his grace that you've been saved." Last one, Romans 5:8. "God, who demonstrates his own love for you, did it this way. While you were a sinner, Christ died for you." These truths need to be understood because it's at the very foundation of what it means to be made alive in Christ, to be born again, to call yourself a Christian. Now, it's true, many struggle with this because it's an attempt to understand just what happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ. And here's a foundational truth. Did you know that God chose you before you ever chose him? I'll put it like this. Have you ever had somebody that called your phone and you didn't recognize the number? You saw it come up on the caller ID. You're like, what number is that? You didn't even recognize the area code. You're like, what is this? I don't know this number. And so you let it ring, and eventually it goes to voicemail. They call back. you still watch it ring because you're hesitant. I don't know who this stranger is. And so you allow it to go to voicemail. Well, eventually, okay, you get called so many times that you pick up the number. And you're like, who is this that's calling me? Or have you ever had somebody that's called you multiple times and they left you a voicemail, and then you eventually get around to calling them, okay? So you call them, you're like, hey, what's going on? Just thought I'd give you a call. And then they say, what do you mean you're just giving me a call? I called you first, all right? Like, I called you multiple times. I left you voicemails. You're getting back to me, but I'm the one that started it, okay? Listen, God is the one that called you first. You were lost in the dark, a sinner, an enemy of God, helpless, dead, and God called you. This is what the gospel means, is that God called your number. Do you know how many times God has called you when you were out doing your own thing? He's called your heart. He's left you voicemails. He's told you how much he loved you, how he wants to turn your life around, how he sent his son to die for you, and he can remove the guilt and the shame. He can clean you up and remove the guilt of your stains, your sins, your give you hope and rest and love and light and the hope of heaven when you die. He's called you, left you tons of messages. He initiated. He called you first. Your response to God was enabled by his first call. His number would have, you would have never had his number in your phone unless he put it there, right? And this is what we see in the language of this text of verse 18. What does it mean to be born again? Verse 18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth. He chose to give birth to us. Now, I have been present for all three of my boys' births, all right? Now, let me ask, what amount of effort does a baby contribute to its own birth? None. It takes a lot of work to have a baby. Lots of strain and effort. And there was someone in that room who did all the work for my boys to be born. And it wasn't me. It was my wife with all natural, no pain meds, calling out for Jesus for strength. Just as we did not cause our own human birth, we can't cause our own spiritual birth. There's no amount of good works that you can do to bring it about. The work was all God. He brought you from death to life, from being blind to be able to see, from the dark into his light. He brought, now that word brought there in verse 18 means cause to exist, into being, death to life. To be born again doesn't mean getting new religion, but it does mean getting brand new life. Now, this is important because there's so many people out there that are religious, right? They were raised in a religious home and they're like, oh yeah, I know that. I know all the stories. I know David and Goliath. I know the big old whale that swallowed the dude. I know about Daniel in the lion's den, and they're familiar with the stories. They've been to church. They've maybe sung in a choir. Maybe their dad was a deacon or their grandpa was an elder or whatever. And so they've been around it. But let me tell you, that still is not it. You can wear the jersey and still not be on the team, all right? To be born again means that you're born again on the inside, not just the outside. It's the inside where the light switch gets flicked on. God reaches in and he illuminates you from the inside. Now, Jesus tried to describe this to this guy named Nicodemus. If you remember the story, it's in John chapter 3. Jesus was having a conversation with a really religious guy. And this guy, Nicodemus, we'll call him Nick. He came to Jesus at nighttime. So this is Nick at night, okay, the original. This is what it says. Now there was a Pharisee, his name was Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, hey, Rabbi, we know that you're a good teacher and you come from God. No one can perform these signs that you're doing if God were not with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Nick. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Well, how can somebody be born again when they're old? Nicodemus asked. I mean, they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Then Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. What Nicodemus, the religious man, needed to know was that Jesus wanted to make him brand new on the inside by the work of his own Spirit. What Nicodemus needs is what you and I need. It's not new religion, it's new life. The word born again that Jesus used literally means born from above. It's a Greek word called hagenita, and it literally means born from above. It's the work of God. No one can be born again because of his relatives. Nobody can be born again because of your own resolutions or because of your religion. The new birth is the work of God. Now, all over the New Testament, we get the miracle of the new birth, about the language of being called new creations, being made alive, coming back from the dead, being able to see. You're literally experiencing a supernatural work in yourself. You're not just an improved version of the old you, but you become a brand new you. You're not brand used, all right? You're brand new, and that's the beauty of it. So now the question is this: how are we born again? So we know where it comes from, who's doing it. Now, really, how is it done? Look at verse 18. Verse 18, he says that we've been born, let me read it, of his own will. So God started it. He brought us forth, God does it, by the word of truth. That is the means by which God makes us born again. So by the word of truth, let me explain that for you. There are times in the New Testament we are told that the Bible itself, the word of God, the message of the gospel, the good news, is the way that faith comes into your heart. So when you hear with your ears or read with your eyes, you're told it or you understand it, it's in hearing of this message that supernatural life invades your darkened soul and illuminates it from the inside. Now, just as a blood transfusion into a dead corpse doesn't really do much, the idea is this: God steps in and awakens your dead soul and through the word infuses new life to you. The new love that you have for God is God's love in you. Now, there's a word that kind of is described this in Hebrews chapter 4. It says this, talking about the Bible. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow, and it exposes the innermost thoughts of the heart." Did you know your Bible, the one that you hold, or the one that's on your desk, on your shelf, collecting all that dust? Did you know your Bible is a supernatural book? The word of God here, what we're told in the Bible, is that it itself, it's the words of God, the supernatural life-giving words of God. You know, they don't call it the living Bible for nothing, all right? The Bible is the message of Jesus, and it's a supernatural message that has supernatural power. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." The way you were born again is by hearing the Bible, the word of truth. It's the instrument that God uses to implant new life in you. This is why it's so vitally important for you to know your Bible. So when people are struggling in their faith and I'm dealing with doubt and I don't know what to do, why don't you get your butt in the book and start reading? Because faith comes by hearing. When I'm out talking to people and I'm talking to people that don't believe in God, I don't waste time debating with them. I sometimes will give a defense for the gospel, don't get me wrong, and I'll give evidence for God's existence, and I'll deal with people's doubt. But at the end of the day, if our goal is to have people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to at some point get to the Bible and read the scriptures and say, this is what God says, and this is the message about Him. In hearing these words, it's like a golden conduit by which faith flows. And this is what the Bible is all about, that God's will brings you forth. It's His doing to birth you, but He uses the word of truth. Man, it's a powerful thing. And when it's preached and when we hear it, there's something that happens. It's like you're made alive on the inside. I mean, the only way I can think of explaining it is if you are, I know some of you have houseplants, okay, all over your house. They say if you talk to your houseplants that it will cause them to grow and be healthier, which is a strange idea, right? So if I was just looking into your house and I saw you talking to your plants, you would look like a weirdo, all right? But we know there's a hidden truth. There's the carbon dioxide coming out of your mouth causes that health to the plants. They need that, right? And so that speaking, that breathing, it helps the plants. In reading the words of God, it's like you're a plant and you're catching the breath of God. And something comes alive in you. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit's instrument to bring us under conviction of sin, to open our eyes, to see how beautiful Jesus is, to help us understand what He's done. This is what the breath of God is all about. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes brand new. Okay, so what have we learned from verse 18? We learn, why does it happen? Because He wants to. Who does the work? God does. What does He use? The Bible. Why does He do it? Look at the end, it says. The reason why God does this in your life? That you might be a kind of first fruit of His creations or His creatures. The new birth, the reason why God awakened you from the dead, why He saved you, why He wiped you off from the mud and forgave you all your sins, the reason why He cleared you from your long list of law breaking was because He wanted to put you as an example to the world of how good He is. That you would be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. I've mentioned it quite a bit. My dad was a green thumb growing up. He had all these fruit trees everywhere, and we really enjoyed being able to, you know, get the first few bites of the new fruit that would grow every season. And so we would be excited. We're out there watching them. We see the oranges as they grow and as they mature and as they darken. We've had these huge navel oranges in the backyard. And oh man, a navel orange. They don't have navel oranges here in Alabama. Stinking Alabama. But we do have peaches, all right? So I'll give you that. But we don't have oranges. But back in California, these oranges, these navel oranges, massive. Man, there's just something about a fresh orange. And we would always be the first ones to pick it. And let me tell you, some of the first fruit on the tree, that's the indicator of the harvest itself. It's going to be a good yield this year because of the first fruits. And the idea is this, the work that God has done in you, what He's done in you, you're no longer the same you, you're brand new. That is an evidence. That is a tasty morsel to the world, your family, the people around you, of the work that God does. That they could look at you and hear from you and be like, oh my goodness, like, man, I knew, I'm going to pick on you for a moment, Susie. I mean, I knew Susie way before this time. And let me tell you, Susie's a different woman, you know, just her attitude and her actions and the way she used to speak from the way she is today. You know, there's a difference between the old us and the current us, and the world around us should be able to notice that. And when they notice that, that means that you're a first fruit of what God is doing. You become the example to the world around you of the goodness of God. And that's why your testimony is so important, by the way. And every single one of you have a testimony. A testimony is your story. Your story of how God intervened and God picked you up and God dusted you off and God gave you hope and life and promises. And so you can look back and say, this is where I was. This is how he found me. And this is how it's going. Your testimony. Your testimony is an example to the world of the goodness and the kindness and the grace of God. Your new birth. Listen, it's so important. The world needs to know about it. They need to see it because it's like a neon sign that points back to God saying, this is what he does. You know, he sure tore down some big walls in the Old Testament, the walls of Jericho. But let me tell you about the walls he tore down in my life. Sure, you know, he, in the Old Testament, knocked out a giant with a little guy, David and Goliath. Well, let me tell you about the giants he's killed in my life. Sure, Red Seas crossed, Moses with a staff. But let me tell you about the impossible things in my life that didn't seem like there was a way, but then God made a way. My story, oh, it highlights the goodness, the miraculousness, the supernatural power of God. My life is a first fruit, a little taste to what God can do, but it's only a taste because your life is just a little tiny bit of how big God is and the work that he is doing, but he's doing it for a reason. Listen, God loves you, my friends. He loves you. That's why you're here today. That's why you're on the phone call. Okay, that's why you're where you're at in life. God is doing everything to get your attention. And what is he doing? He's calling your phone. He's letting you know, I love you. I got a plan for your life. I sent my son to die for you. He rose again from the dead. Listen, we will wipe you off. We will clean your sins. We will remove the guilt. We will give you purpose and promises and heaven when you die. Listen, I'm telling you, this is an amazingly true story. And so the topic of the new birth, it's a good one to know your spiritual birthday. It's so important. And so if today you just think back and look back to your spiritual birthday, man, what a great day that was. I remember for me, many years ago, it was on a Wednesday night when I got invited. I was some heathen dog that was working out in a gym and someone invited me to go to church. They picked me up, took me to In-N-Out. Oh, I miss In-N-Out. Took me to In-N-Out with double chopped chilies. And then, okay, I went to Wednesday night church and I heard the gospel. I heard that there was a God in heaven that loved me. And that night, my life changed. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. And my life has never been the same since. The lights went on that night. And not even hell can turn them off. Spiritual birthdays, what a blessing they are. I sure hope you've had yours. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for my friends and I thank you for today. Lord, the fact that we can sit here and see that you're the one that loved us in our helplessness and in our being an enemy of you, and you intervene and you pick us up, you give us life, you breathe life into us, and then you put us on a rock, you give us hope and promises, you love us, you shower us with your love and your presence, and you abide in our hearts and you never leave us or forsake us, and you listen to our prayers. There's so many amazing things, God. We just say thank you. I say thank you, God. Thank you today for the new life that you've given to me. Thank you for my spiritual birthday, how you brought me forth by the word of truth, that I would be a first fruit of your creatures. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for my friends, my siblings on the phone that are all sons and daughters of you. I thank you for them. And so I lift this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.